Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on the 6th day of September 2022. I trust you all had a relaxing, refreshing, enjoyable, and Christ-honoring Labor Day weekend. And we are delighted to have back on the program one of my favorite returning guests. His name will be no stranger to our listeners who listen regularly, because not only have I interviewed this brother a number of times, but you hear his commercial every day promoting a commentary series on the Westminster Larger Catechism, authored by Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. So you should not be unfamiliar with the name Dr. Joseph A. Piper, who is an author of over one dozen books himself, and he is president emeritus and professor of systematic and applied theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. Today we are addressing a very important theme that not only divides the body of Christ, but even divides, perhaps even especially, Reformed Christians. We're addressing the importance of young earth creationism, which is actually a qualification for anyone serving on the board or faculty for Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And I believe, if I'm not wrong, it could be the only seminary in the nation that does have that qualification, or at least one of a very few. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joey Piper.
Well, thank you, Chris. As always, it's good to be with you. I will say that Puritan would also have that same stance that
great.
We have.
Great. Puritan.
I don't know about others, but...
Great. Puritan Reformed Theology.
Yeah, Heidelberg Catechism up in South Dakota, they would as well.
Okay. And, well, I'm glad to hear, after it came out of my mouth, I immediately thought of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, founded by Dr. Joel Beakey, because I was almost certain that they would make that a qualification as well. Well, tell our listeners more about Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina.
Thank you, Chris. The seminary was started by Dr. Morton Smith in 1987. To have a seminary that was committed to full subscription of the Westminster Standards, and that would include, of course, six-day literal creation, Sabbath, high views of worship, things like that. I came to the seminary in 1998 as the first president, had the privilege of serving in that capacity until June of 20. And Jonathan Master has come in as my successor and is just doing a remarkable job. We focus on preparing men for the ministry. That is our great goal and how we teach everything at the seminary. The curriculum is put together under that end. And God continues to bless us, as I hear of other schools having lower Ministry of Energy enrollment. Ours has stayed high even during COVID, and this year we have over 30 new students.
Praise God. And as we let our listeners know, last time you were on, one of my pastors, John Miller, is a graduate of Greenville Presbyterian.
That's right.
Even though he is a Reformed Baptist.
That's right.
And I'm sure he is delighted that you are on the program today. He speaks extremely highly of you. Well, if anybody wants to find out more information about Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, go to gpts.edu. G for Greenville, P for Presbyterian, T for Theological, S for Seminary, .edu. And God willing, we'll be repeating that towards the end of the program. Well, this is quite a controversial subject, and when I think about it, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a controversial subject, especially among those who believe in the inerrancy of Scripture and those that would be confessional and conservative and Bible-believing and Calvinistic and Reformed Christians, but it sadly is. And when I say that, I don't mean to disparage those that believe in an old earth position. I have very close friends who believe in an old earth position who have even been on this program. I only have people subscribing to an old earth position on the show if they're speaking about that subject, to be involved in a give and take or a debate, because I am a firm believer in a young earth position. But I have had men who subscribe to the old earth position speak on other issues on this program, and some of them have been my friends for decades. But at the same time, I think this is an extremely important issue, and I'm sure you do too, since, as you said, the seminary for which you are president emeritus and professor of systematic and applied theology has that restriction and requirement that all members of the board and faculty have a young earth position. Perhaps you could define for us, it may seem like a no-brainer, it may seem obvious, but why don't you define for us what young earth creationism means?
Okay, Chris. Young earth creationism takes Genesis 1:1 to be an account of how God created and in what order, and takes the days of Genesis 1 to be normal days. I say normal days because it's possible with the flood or whatever that, because the whole universe, or at least our part of it, is in great upheaval, that perhaps they weren't 24 hours, but that normal days, that's what God wants us to think. And depending on how one looks at the genealogies in Scripture, 6 to 10,000 years would be the age of the earth.
Amen. And can you give us some of, in summary form, some of the views of those that would reject that description of what the Bible truly teaches about creation?
Yeah. Up until probably the 1830s, I think all Reformed people pretty much took the position that I just summarized. It was with the claims first of geology and then of evolution that, with good intentions of hoping to avoid any conflict between the inerrancy of Scripture and what men assume to be the facts of science, we began to see a weakening of that. Princeton was one of the main places where around that time, Warfield and Hodge, well, Warfield not then, but Hodge, began to take the position with respect to that. And the first thing that was put forward was called the gap theory, and that is that between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, there was a great upheaval perhaps the fall of the angels or whatever, so that what we have in Genesis 1-2 is the earth after that upheaval and then a reforming of the earth. That is exegetically untenable, and I really, all the positions are, but it's probably the most in terms of those first two verses. What became popular in evangelicalism and amongst the fundamentalists is called the day-age theory, and that is that the days themselves represent long periods of time. That is a position that, in one sense, is exegetically sounder in terms that does follow the order of Genesis chapter 1, its chronology. It doesn't work exegetically because the Hebrew word yom, as it's used in Genesis chapter 1, the default meaning is either a normal day or day in contrast to night. And, of course, there are those that say, well, a day with God is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. But the analogy that the Bible makes there, both in Moses and in Peter, would be completely invalid. If you were saying 1,000-year day is like 1,000 years, no, the contrast there is between what we know of as a day. In God's sight, it is as nothing, just to put it in 1,000 years. I just challenge people that make this remark about Yom to do a full word study of the word. Even a liberal Skinner on his commentary on Genesis said it's impossible to understand that word in any other way. And many men like Charles Hodge and Ritterboss and others will say that the normal reading, the natural reading of Genesis 1 would be a normal creation. But also, the day-age theory does not work in terms of trying to harmonize with the claims of evolutionists because the order is different. So what we've had more recently are two non-literal approaches, one called framework hypothesis, and that is that what we have in Genesis 1 is a stylized framework that simply has two parallels, the kingdom and the kings, or the environment and the inhabitants, or whatever. And so what we have then is the creation of a structure and then putting things in the structure, and that the text is not telling us anything about order. They appeal to, and I'll probably get to this later, Genesis 2, where we have the first record of the generations of Toledos, and they want to say that that was a record of what it was like in Genesis 1, and thus normal providence must be at work. And that the language is highly poetic, but it really isn't highly poetic. It's very, it uses all the Hebrew forms for historical narrative. That's the least tenable exegetically. So what we have had since then is what's called the analogical view. And that is the view that, well, yeah, there's kind of an order here of 6 days, so that God shows us how to pattern our weeks. But as soon as they say there's kind of an order, then they say there's days 1 and 4 actually are the same day. So I think all the views break down with respect to their, and probably come to that later, their exegetical approach.
I'm going to give our listeners our email address if you'd like to join us with a question for Dr. Joey Piper of your own. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And the only way I could possibly conceive that would be the case is if you are a member of a church whose position on the old earth versus young earth controversy differs from your own, and you are perhaps upset by it. You don't want to identify yourself at this point because you don't want to stir up a controversy in your own congregation. That kind of thing I could understand compelling you to remain anonymous. But if it is just a general question about the Bible, about what Reformed Christians have believed throughout the centuries historically on this issue, etc., please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. It seems to be that the most serious issue that comes up when we are disagreeing with brothers over a young earth versus old earth position is that, one of these most serious issues is that you would have to believe in an old earth position that death came prior to the fall of Adam and Eve, and if you could pick up from there.
Yes, that is one of the problems with respect to the position, and there's been any number of attempts to defend that position, some saying that it's just human death that's being referred to. So the evolutionary scheme is premised upon a geological scheme of stratas, of fossils, and so you would have to have had, according to that scheme, a good bit. It's not just death even, it's violent death, because the fossil record is a record of violent death. And so it does create a huge problem with respect to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1 concludes by telling us that God gave the plants of the earth for the food of men and animals, that death came in because of the fall, and that is the death on the curse of creation, which Paul tells us the creation itself has been subjected to futility because of the fall. It's just no way to deal with the text in terms of what the Bible really says, that death is a penal act of God because of sin. I was a bit hesitant. I was trying to find a quotation from Noah Weeks with respect to death, and I had it a while ago, but
well, if you'd like to continue looking, let me repeat our email address for listeners who would like to actually get in line to ask a question of Dr. Piper. We already have some people waiting to have their questions asked and answered on air, but our email address again is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if it is about a personal and private matter regarding our subject that compels you not to reveal your identity, such as your church being in disagreement with you over this issue. Perhaps you're even a pastor and your fellow elders disagree with you, or your denomination disagrees with you. We would understand those reasons, but give us otherwise your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Have you found what you were looking for yet, brother?
No, that's okay. It's simply preposterous to go against Scripture when God says that death is the consequence of the fall. And moreover, not only was there no violent animal death, that the probationary period from all evidence of Genesis 2 and 3 was not that long. There still would not have been the possibility of this awful cataclysmic events on Earth that would have created such a record of a violent death. More than likely, what we have in the fossil record is a consequence of the flood, which clearly is the cataclysmic event that does explain the record itself.
Now, in my conversations with my old Earth friends, they have used something that you just said as an argument to defend their own position. They have said that what the scriptures are referring to about death coming with the fall is specifically regarding the sin of man, and therefore the death of plants and animals prior to the fall, it has nothing to do with the death that came from the fall. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I did find my quote from Noah Weeks. So, of great significance for the interpretation of the creation account is the question of whether death is here understood in general, or whether it refers only to human death. If death came into the world only with Adam, then all evolutionary reconstructions of the development of animals would be excluded. Obviously, without animal death, there's no animal evolution. Furthermore, periods represented by fossils must occur after man's sin. It is natural to connect Romans 5:14 about death entering the world with the statement of Romans 8:20 and 21 about the whole creation being subjected to futility. Paul's reference here is obviously to the curse placed upon the ground in consequence of man's sin. If we add this to the statement in Genesis 1:30 that the plants are given to every animal as food, the natural inference is that animals were originally vegetarian and that animal death was also not present before sin. I think Noel answers that. And moreover, when we see then what God does in Genesis 9, where now there is a real conflict introduced within the animal world and between man and animal, as well as now the privilege to take animal food. Not that man didn't do that after the fall, but there's just no grounds for that looser interpretation, in my opinion.
And you did say looser, not Luther, as in Martin Luther. You said looser, am I correct? Hello, brother?
I don't know.
I think you said looser, which would make perfect sense. Just a little joke there. We have Ted from Moundville, Alabama, who says, Chris, you made a disclaimer in your introduction that I don't mean to disparage those who believe in an old earth position. But it seems to me that many, many young earth creationists really do disparage those who believe in old earth creation. Specifically, it is not enough for some young earth creationists to reject the old earth creationist position as incorrect and to state that the holder of that view is incorrect on that particular issue. Rather, they have to take a cheap shot at that believer's faith, most often claiming that the old earth creation position is the result of not taking the Bible seriously. To wit, I'm wondering if your guest and you, Chris, would be willing to acknowledge that it is not the case that all those who believe in old earth creation do so because they do not take the Bible seriously, or at least as seriously as they should, or at the very least, not as seriously as you do. Well, first of all, I have friends that are, I'll let Dr. Piper respond after I do, because you were talking about my caveat in the beginning. I have personal friends who are far more brilliant than I am, far more biblically literate than I am, And I would never say that they hold their old earth position because they don't take the Bible seriously. But I can also say to you, just as the divisions between Calvinists and Arminians and Textus Receptus Onlyists and those that believe in the older manuscripts of the scripture, and we could go on and on with things that divide the body of Christ, I have personally witnessed hatred and ad hominem and mean-spiritedness and lack of Christ-like behavior on both sides of these issues. And I have been actually astonished by some of the rhetoric of old earth creationists that I have encountered. I used to think that they were the picked on guys, even though I disagreed with them. I used to think that they were the picked on guys by the young earth bullies, but that is hardly the case, that it is a one-way situation. I have met and spoken with old earth folks who actually believe that young earth creationists are guilty of young people going to hell because the young earth position is so moronic in their minds that young people have left the faith because we are not represented by brilliant scientists as those who are evolutionists and old earth creationists are. So this is not a one-way street. But anyway, Dr. Piper, perhaps you could respond.
Well, I agree with you where you began the program. I, too, have close friends that take different approaches to Genesis chapter 1. Actually, some of those friends actually support Greenville Seminary, knowing our position. No, it's not the issue. Again, it is a two-way street. I've been accused of being a fundamentalist and all types of things because of my exegesis on Genesis chapter 1. So with any kind of controversy amongst brethren, we ought to stick to the arguments and not throw out the ad hominem against them. So I would solidly affirm to the young man from Moundville that it's wrong to do so from either direction, and we deal with each other as brothers in Christ, and we pray that God continue to give us insight into his word.
Amen. Well, thanks, Ted, in Moundville.
And let me also say that we actually do at Greenville Seminary, you can't be on our faculty, but we have had people speak at our conferences that's not a litmus test. If you're an expert in a particular area and we'd like to have you come and speak to us, we've often done that. In fact, Ian Hamilton says we're probably the most reformed ecumenical seminary he knows of in terms of the breadth that we use in our conferences.
Great. Well, thank you, Ted, from Moundville, Alabama. I hope that those answers satisfy you. We're going to our first break right now, and again, if you'd like to join us with a question of your own and get in line behind those that are waiting, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Joey Piper right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Satan is the father of lies and spin, and the mother of those lies is a government who has rejected God. We have especially been lied to these last 2 years, and the COVID panic has been one of the central mechanisms that our government has used to lie to us and grab more power. Because Christians have not been reading their Bibles, we are susceptible to lies and are weak in our ability to fight these lies. God has given us His Word to fight Satan and his lies, and we need to recover all of God's Word, its serrated edge and all. Mark your calendars for October 6th through 8th as we fight, laugh, and feast to the glory of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. You'll be enlightened, edified, encouraged, and challenged by 10 speakers on the theme Lies, Propaganda, Storytelling, and the Serrated Edge, covering various topics that address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Speakers include Pastor Doug Wilson of Christ Church of Moscow, Idaho, and the whole gang at the Cross Politics show and podcast. For details, visit flfnetwork.com. That's F for fight, L for laugh, F for feast, network.com. See you there October 6th through 8th in Knoxville, Tennessee.
You're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com or call 717-258-4688, 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts
along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, that for two more weeks, if you purchase jewelry from royaldiadem.com, whether it be jewelry that they already have in stock or custom-made jewelry, any purchase of $100 or more, the entire profits, 100% of the profits, will go directly to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchase. So please go to royaldiadem.com today, whether it's to purchase jewelry they already have in stock or to customize an engagement ring or even taking your church or parachurch ministry logo and turning it into a pendant or a ring. I have seen firsthand the absolutely masterful work they do. One of the sons of the woman who led me to Christ has a cross pendant that was custom designed by royaldiadem.com. That's mind-blowing. It is so gorgeous, and it not only was created according to his exact specifications, but went beyond his dreams in regard to this pendant. So that could be you too. Go to royaldiadem.com. Don't forget to mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're back now with Dr. Joey Pipa, and we are discussing the importance of young earth creationism. We have a listener who I believe is a first-time listener, Brenda in Greer, South Carolina. She actually has a two-part question. I'll read them one at a time. It is helpful to use the topic of evolution as a segue to the gospel. Or actually, she asks that. Is it helpful to use the topic of evolution as a segue to the gospel? I'll let you answer that first.
Well, I don't really know what Brenda means by the question. I would much rather use direct people to the triune God who is the creator of all things as a segue to the gospel, because he is the creator. We are all people are responsible to him, and because he is perfectly holy and we're sinners, then we're under his judgment. So I don't quite...
Well, let me read some more of what she has to say. She asks, how do you respond to a friend or a stranger who offhandedly says, well, for millions of years, etc.? I struggle with this because I cannot honestly say all Bible-believing Christians understand the importance of reading this part of God's Word literally, not figuratively. I know there are godly men who believe otherwise, and even the PCA and OPC have indicated in their reports that our other views are legitimate. Okay, and before I ask her final question, I'll let you respond to that.
Well, if the person's hindrance to the gospel is a belief in evolution, then I think we have to try to answer them honestly in terms of the scripture's testimony, A, and then B, the absolute lack of scientific evidence. In fact, the scientific impossibility of evolution as being a means of development of any species, which even non-Christian scientists now are saying.
Yeah, recently. Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, brother. Go ahead, brother.
I just would keep directing people to what the Bible says, and God's testimony to himself in the Bible. What Paul says, for example, there would have been people in Athens that, well, I would think there would have, because of the great philosophical diversity that would have believed in evolution. It's not something new. But Paul asserts God as creator, made from one, all mankind, and in him we live and move and have our being. That's the place I would go and say, let's just see what the Bible says. And then let the Holy Spirit bear testimony as God says he will do, if he's willing, than to the authority of Scripture at that point. But I think probably Genesis 17 is a good place to go.
Yeah, it's interesting that, well, not surprising at all, that the far-left political assistant, consultant, and pundit James Carville just very recently during an interview mocked, and he was attaching this to a typical Republican, mocked anyone who would dare to deny evolution as a moron and an idiot and so on. And it's interesting, has Mr. Carville come up with some new information that we haven't heard where evolution, especially Darwinian evolution, is still called a theory? never been claimed by any scientist to have been 100% proven. Anyway, but let me go back to our listeners' final question, Brenda in Greer, South Carolina. Do you think that even in churches where the leadership is united in holding a six-day creation, there is a reluctance to emphasize it? What should be done by these churches to address this deficiency?
Well, I don't know if there is a hesitancy because of the backlash. I think that we should, every time the text would deal with the sovereignty of God or his power, his creation, I think in our liturgy, our prayers, we address God as the triune creator who made all things and nothing by the word of his power in 6 days. I think every Reformed church should have a new members class where they teach that on the front end. So people that come in don't have to believe it, but they need to understand this is what we believe and will teach. Same way in a Presbyterian church, we will gladly receive a Credo Baptist into our membership as long as they understand this is what we believe, we're going to teach it, and they would in no way seek to counter that. And would continue to study that with us. So it's not a litmus test for membership, but people need to know on the front end, this is what we believe and what we're going to preach. And if they are comfortable being under that, even if they don't believe it, then they're welcome. But we don't, if we talk about the consequences, we really, this is much more important than merely an academic dispute over how one is going to look at Genesis 1. The consequences of the approach, I think, are quite detrimental.
Thank you, Brenda, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you're a first-time questioner, and if that is the case, you have won a free New American Standard Bible. If you would like to provide for us by an email, your full name and your full mailing address there in Greer, South Carolina, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service will be shipping a free New American Standard out to you. Compliments of the Lockman Foundation, who are a key sponsor of this program, and also compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who will actually be physically shipping that out to you at no cost to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thank you very much. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, do you know of any old earth creationists who believe in the literal Genesis account of the creation of Adam and Eve, or do they all believe in theistic evolution in regard to Adam and Eve having evolved from lower life forms before being fully human?
Well, by all means, that is a terrible caricature. There are people that don't take Genesis 1 seriously, like William James Craig, that fall into that. And I've watched a number of people who started off either analogical or framework go in that direction. But the great majority of the old earth people I know still believe in a fiat creation of Adam and Eve. So we want to be careful, again, not to paint with that broad brush. There are those that have moved into, and even those that have moved into theistic evolution will often still hold to creation of Adam from the dust of the ground. So there's a lot of variations there with respect to that. So that's not a place for us to paint with a broad brush.
Thank you, Arnie. And we have time, before we go to our midway break, we have time for one last question. How do you respond to Tim Keller's promotion of what appears to be theistic evolution?
Whose?
Tim Keller, the very well-known author and pastor of...
what's the question?
How do you respond to his promotion of theistic evolution?
Well, I would say he's wrong. As I've said, I've watched a number of men who began either, particularly as proponents of the framework hypothesis, who have continued to go that direction and have ended up in some type of approach to theistic evolution. I don't think that Dr. Keller would, again, deny the supernatural creation of Adam and Eve, but he has, to some degree, joined forces with Biologos. And
what is the position of Biologos on that?
Biologos is basically committed to theistic evolution.
Yeah, that's assuming that's why our listener assumes Dr. Keller was or is as well.
Well, he is. I'm just saying, I know he does. Actually, our presbytery wrote him a clarification a number of years ago. I'm just saying, again, I'm not going to say because he hosts Physic Evolution that he is denying the supernatural creation of Adam and Eve. I don't know where he is on that, but I'm not would not accuse him of that at this point.
Now, is that something that...
And it's interesting, Brenda's question mentioned... how these, the PCA, Presbyterian Church in America, Orthodox Presbyterian Church reports allow these other positions. PCA report was quite strong against any type of theistic evolution. And so it's since that report has come out is when we've seen now this further development. I think Bruce Waukee has gone this direction.
Yes, that saddened me greatly because I remember seeing Bruce Waukee in the 80s preach at the church where I was a member on Long Island, and he was such a blessing, and I was heartbroken to hear of this.
You're cutting out on me, Chris, for some reason.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
All right.
But I was just saying it was a tragedy to hear of Dr. Walkie's changed...
Well, it is. It is. So at least he and Tim Keller would be two. There are others... not as much in the Reformed world that have gone that same direction.
All righty. Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. And please be patient with us because this is the normal break in the middle of the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize geographically all of their programming, including ours, to Lake City, Florida. They do that with their own public service announcements and other local things. And while they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And when you cannot purchase their products, use their services, support their parachurch organizations, or visit their churches, please, at the very least, respond to our advertisers and thank them for sponsoring this show, if indeed you do love the show and are grateful that there are individuals and organizations who desire to share some of the money that God has given them with us so that we can continue to exist. So please respond to them and thank them if indeed you love the show. And also send in those questions to Dr. Joey Pipe at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Again, as always, give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002, 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
A blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And solid-ground-books.com carries at least two books that are contributed to by our guest today, Dr. Joseph Piper. One is The Beauty and Glory of the Holy Spirit. And there is another one that includes Dr. Piper among the authors. That is Calvin for Today. And solid-ground-books.com publishes and brings back into print and sells nothing but the finest in Christian literature, dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please, when you're making gift purchases, make your first stop solid-ground-books.com and mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Dr. Piper and our discussion on the importance of young earth creationism, we just have a couple of more important announcements to make. If you really love this show, folks, you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen as well when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you want to advertise with us, whether it be your church, parachurch ministry, your business, private practice, or just a special event, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we are as urgently in need of your advertising dollars as we are of your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. and put advertising in the subject line. Please also always remember, I never want any of my listeners to cut into the giving that they have budgeted for their own local church every week in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't give your own church less money to bless us with a financial gift. Never do that. And if you are really struggling to survive, I don't want to be the cause of more bills mounting up on your kitchen table that have been left unpaid. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture to provide for church and your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear, you're blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for benevolent and recreational and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you love the show and don't want it to go off the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, and doctrinally solid church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience in all parts of the planet Earth find churches, sometimes with even just a few minutes from their own homes. That may be you too. So if you are in that predicament of not having a faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Joseph Piper on the importance of young earth creationism. And we have a question for you, Dr. Piper, from Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who says, "I love your book, The Lord's Day, and your booklet is The Lord's Day for You. And I was wondering, isn't the Sabbath itself a refutation of an old earth creation? Because you cannot possibly believe 6 of the 7 days of the week may be thousands or millions of years when the Sabbath is included in the description of those days, which was obviously a sunrise to sunset day." Actually, I believe the listener meant sunset to sunrise day. But anyway, yeah. If you could.
Good. Yes, the grounds of the Sabbath in the fourth commandment that God reveals through Moses that we have a Sabbath because God quotes Genesis chapter 2, did all things in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Now, the way the non-literal people get around that is some will say that we got the pattern of God's week, and so they'll say it that way. But oftentimes what's happening is they say the seventh day is open-ended, and because of that, we don't take it as a literal day. And there's exegetical reasons why it doesn't conclude with "it was evening and morning, the seventh day." That's actually a hooker, as on a clasp on a train. And it connects the days. We come to the end. We don't need that any longer. The rest of the Bible treats the Sabbath as a day. And so what's happened then is you'll see one of the consequences of these views is a weakening of a commitment to the Sabbath on people that, I'm not saying all of them, but on some people who hold to the non-literal interpretation of Genesis chapters 1 and then 2, 1, 3.
Excellent. Thank you, Susan Margaret, for an excellent question. Before I take any more questions, I want to make sure that we don't get entirely off track and miss things that you find most important about this subject. So why don't you take a couple of minutes or more to bring up some of the things that would compel you to believe this is a crucial issue. Obviously, we're not discounting the salvation or the brotherhood of people who disagree, but it's still a crucial issue nonetheless. So please have some uninterrupted time.
And let me quickly go through some of these things. First place, Scripture's premium on the supernatural sovereign character of God's creating work. In the Institutes, Calvin writes, "Therefore, that we may apprehend with true faith what it profits us to know of God, it is important for us to grasp first the history of the creation of the universe, as it has been set forth briefly by Moses, and then as has been more fully illustrated by saintly men, especially Basil and Ambrose." So the rest of Scripture appeals to creation. God alone is God. God is transcendent, infinite, sovereign. He's to be feared and worshipped. It's the basis of self-revelation of God. It's the fulfillment of God's word, and it illustrates the nature of the new birth. Second, and you alluded to this when we began the program, a confessional integrity. For those of us that would either hold to the Westminster standards or the American or English historic confessions that parallel the Westminster standards. There's been no Reformed confession teaching anything other than six normal days. Now, some don't address the question as specifically, but there's been none to teach otherwise. There are those that say when the confession of faith says that God made in this, created the space of 6 days, that was a very ambiguous statement. Well, in fact, it's a statement coined first by Calvin and picked up by Archbishop Usher to posit that there were six normal days of creation. That's exactly what that phrase means and its use in other literature and where it came from. And it relates to many key doctrines then, the unity of the race from one man, the imputation of sin, Christ the covenant head, the nature of the flood, covenant history, and the historicity of Genesis 1 through 11. And ultimately, not that people do this consciously or self-consciously, but it does destroy the doctrine of the perspicuity, the plain meaning of Scripture.
Amen.
And you read the Bible for yourself, and not all things are equally clear. But this chapter is very clear. I had a social class one time, and I gave an assignment. And I go home and the next week, read Genesis 1 and come back and tell me what you think it says. And even those who oppose our view will say, as did Ritterboss, one who reads Genesis 1 without prepossession or suspicion is almost bound to receive the impression that the author's intent is to say that creation took place in six ordinary days. But we cannot stop here. He's bound also to receive the impression that the earth was created first, afterwards the sun, moon, and stars. Well, yes, by all means, that's exactly the impression that God wants us to have. And the language, I think, is quite clear as how it describes Genesis 1, our light, and then on the first day, and on the fourth day. It really violates many of the tenets of grammatical historical after Jesus. That there's so many markers there. For example, it uses the historical marker in Hebrew that is used for consecutive marriage. It uses the word yom with days that are ordinal numbers, first, second, third, and fourth. When those are used in that way, they're to be taken in a chronological order. I've already mentioned yom. It's used in the rest of the Bible. And then this little phrase, evening and morning, is not talking about beginning or end of day. It's an idiom used by Moses in three other places, simply talk about nighttime. And so we have the daylight time of God's work, and then we have night, and that ends the first day. So there's many exegetical reasons to go with the literal translation. It's arbitrary as well, and the method is because Moses' writing style in chapters 2 and 3 is as figurative, if not more so, than chapter 1. I mean, the description of the creation of man, and God's making man's clothing, talking snake. Why are not chapters 2 and 3 made non-literal? In fact, some people now are doing that. Or the flood account. Is given to us in a chronological narrative, again, with this use of days. So why is Genesis 1 not taken in the same way? Or the supernatural intervention in the plagues and crossing the Red Sea, or the clothing of the children of Israel not wearing out. These are not matters of ordinary providence. So there's no exegetical breaks to the system. And then it really does have other disastrous consequences. I know people don't like the domino theory. We've already mentioned that some of these proponents now have moved into theistic evolution. A couple of reformed men, also a man like Youngblood, has gone that direction. animal deaths before the fall. Now we have people who hold this position actually saying that the flood, we used to hear that the flood was not universal, but destroyed all people. Now they're actually saying, well, the flood didn't even destroy all people, just people in that particular area. So all of these are logical consequences, I think, of this method, this approach to Scripture. It's an exegetical, arbitrary method. Now, again, these men love the Word of God. They don't deny inerrancy of Scripture. I'm not accusing of that in any way whatsoever. But I'm simply saying that I've observed in a number of proponents this type of devolution, and for these reasons. And then as the lady mentioned, the Sabbath, there's been a great one more reason why there's been a great decline in a biblical Sabbath is coming out of this approach to Genesis 1-2. Of course, now we're getting people who claim to be evangelical, like William James Craig, completely doing away with any sound exegesis of Genesis 2 and the creation of man.
Wow. Yes, I recognized that the apologists that seem to more closely tie themselves with William Lane Craig are old earther folks. And in fact, I've heard some of them, I'm not going to say this about Dr. Craig because I haven't heard him say this, but some of them that have appeared on stage with him and so on have mocked very cruelly as being ridiculous our views of a young earth. But excellent summary. And
he does say in the book that when he started his so-called quest, he was really hoping it wouldn't lead to that because he could never hold to it.
Huh. We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who asks, to your knowledge, historically, did any Christian, at least a Christian of note, who wrote anything that is in print, believe in an old earth until those that are enemies of Christ and the Scriptures first entered into that proclamation because they believed that science trumped the Scriptures and they believed that their science proved something contrary to a young earth?
I guess we need to be careful don't want to be ambiguous about that. People that responded to these claims did believe in inerrancy, and they were hoping to, in a sense, protect the Bible from accusations that it had error because it contradicted either the claims of geologists or the later claims of evolutionists.
Like Warfield, right?
I can say that I don't know of anybody. David Hall's done a very good job of demonstrating, for example, the framers of the Westminster Confession of Faith. And more we learn their positions. Every one of them was committed to a six normal day approach to creation. There was a view that Augustine taught that because God is omnipotent, he created in a nanosecond, and then Genesis 1 is to spell out for us the order of what he did. That was never a majority position in even the ancient church. And if I mentioned, that's why Calvin coined the phrase in space of 6 days to argue against that. Excuse me. So I'm happy if somebody can show me a Reformed writer who before the 19th century advocated an old earth or a non-literal approach to Genesis chapter 1. But as best I can tell, it was not normal. It was not in the ancient church as well. I mean, Calvin mentions Basil and Ambrose and many, because it's been asserted that many of the old fathers held to a day age, but there's a long list of quotations from the early church as well. So, no, there maybe was somebody that exegetically came to that position, but was only after, because they'll talk about it in their writings, people like Hodge, that they're trying to bring concord to the two positions.
Thank you. And I want to also give another plug to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. If you would like to purchase the books that were mentioned by one of our questioners, The Lord's Day by Joseph A. Piper, and also the booklet, Is the Lord's Day for You? Cultivating Biblical Godliness, also by Joseph A. Piper. You could go to cvbbs.com, CV for Cumberland Valley, BB for Bible Book, S for Service.com, cvbbs.com. Just out of curiosity, have you written anything specifically on the Young Earth position that we can promote? Or is there a book that you'd like to promote, whether you wrote it or not?
The seminary, one of our first conferences was on creation. We invited a number of Reformed people that would have these other positions to make their presentation. And then we then responded with people both scientifically but also exegetically. That quick book is Did God Create in 6 Days? And that has my more extensive refutation of framework hypothesis. And the seminary has a very brief statement on creation. I think that Doug Kelly has written a very good book. I don't remember the title. E.J. Young's criticisms of framework came up in a couple of things that Banner Truth published many years ago on Genesis 1 and Genesis 1 through 3 that also are very good.
We have Christopher from Amityville, Long Island, New York, my former hometown of most of my life. Christopher says, one thing that baffles me about why Christians would even want to adopt an old earth position is that, to my knowledge, it is absolutely impossible to prove anything is a million or more years old, even under the rigorous examination of geologists. In fact, I know that paleontologists and geologists have made embarrassing blunders trying to guess the dates of fossils and bones, sometimes saying that they are millions of years old when they turn out to be hundreds or less years old. Do you have any comment about that?
Yeah, a couple of things. One is carbon dating just cannot go back that far. Everything has deteriorated. So, but the first of basically a philosophical thing. Now, Christians who are promoting science the sixth day on the basis of what they're reading scripture still can only look at the world around them and postulate. They can give theories that are every bit as valid and oftentimes much more logically sustainable than the theories of the scientists who look at the same thing and posit. None of us were there, so we take God's record. But what we do have now, and there's been excellent work done on this by a Christian geologist, and that is Mount St. Helens. And at Mount St. Helens, what happened in a matter of weeks is what geologists claim took millennia to form the grain.
Yes, I remember that.
And it's all now observable. I mean, even the trees that are horizontal and vertical in the water, all the different strata that has developed. It's been quite phenomenal. So here we have an example of a modern phenomenon that we can examine and see that this kind of thing can happen in a very brief period of time, which is why I think the original work, although it's been improved on, but by Wickham and Morris on flood geology, is so valid. you read the account of Genesis 6 through 8 about the flood, this was not just water. This was, as I mentioned earlier, cosmic upheaval. It was geological upheaval. The earth was basically topsy-turvy, upside down. So again, we know from what we've seen happen, even in less cataclysmic events, what things like that can do to a geological formation. And then we see something like Mount St. Helens. So, yeah, it's the strata differs. And plenty of people have written on the inaccuracies, even trying to measure it by strata. So I think your questioner is correct.
Great. We have another anonymous listener who says, I'm remaining anonymous because some of my very close friends are old earthers, and we've already had heated disagreements over this. I don't want to add to that heat by making my complaint public. But my question to you is simply, do you envision that a young Earth position has a long future ahead of us, seeing how it seems not only do the secularists and scripture haters vehemently and publicly and with claims of science oppose our young Earth position, but the body of Christ seems to be more and more infiltrated with the old Earth position? I mean, obviously, you're not a prophet, but what's your...
No, what we're seeing in the culture, though, is now the world's refusal to submit to God as creator and to create ontological differences. So the whole transgender business, homosexual marriage, all of these things are the products of what young people have been taught in school about evolution. And so surely in the culture, there is a trend to absurdities that even 30 years ago were unimaginable. A whole self-identifying transgender movement is our Tower of Babel, men's refusal to submit to a creator God. So, yes. And so we've already seen it in Science Be Homosexuality, where, well, I'm a celibate, but I have this nature. It's not sinful. That's just a further step. And this is in Christians. This is even in some Reformed churches. So if we keep capitulating, then it's only going to get worse. So it's very important, as in Brenda's question implied, that we take winsome, loving, but strong commands about creation, about ontologically created differences, about there's male and female, that's how God created it, that marriage is to be heterosexual. Because I think we're going to see the evangelical church collapse on these issues. I think we'll become increasingly a minority.
Yeah, that is a shame. But of course, for those of our listeners who are post-millennial, post-millennialists, they may have
a different. As I am.
And that'll be a joy for many of our listeners to hear, because we do have quite a number of post-mill and a-mill and pre-mill. But in fact, we have Gary DeMar on the program tomorrow. But
wonderful.
Yeah, he's a dear friend, and he's going to be... not only discussing an important issue, but he'll be promoting a major conference on postmillennialism to take place in 2023 in Texas. But
very good.
But we're going to go to our final break, so I don't have to interrupt you mid-sentence. This will be much briefer than the other breaks. And if you would like to make sure your question is asked and answered on air, please send it in immediately, because we'll be out of time before you know it. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Do
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Too, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Satan is the father of lies and spin, and the mother of those lies is a government who has rejected God. We have especially been lied to these last 2 years, and the COVID panic has been one of the central mechanisms that our government has used to lie to us and grab more power. Because Christians have not been reading their Bibles, we are susceptible to lies and are weak in our ability to fight these lies. God has given us His Word to fight Satan and his lies, and we need to recover all of God's Word, its serrated edge and all. Mark your calendars for October 6th through 8th as we fight, laugh, and feast to the glory of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. You'll be enlightened, edified, encouraged, and challenged by 10 speakers on the theme Lies, Propaganda, Storytelling, and the Serrated Edge, covering various topics that address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Speakers include Pastor Doug Wilson of Christ Church of Moscow, Idaho, and the whole gang at the Cross Politics Show and Podcast. For details, visit flfnetwork.com. That's F for fight, L for laugh, F for feast, network.com. See you there October 6th through 8th in Knoxville, Tennessee.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy, used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002, 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Lloydsville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon.
And if you haven't heard the additional exciting news, attached to that luncheon the following Saturday, Saturday, September 24th at 4 p.m., Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries is going to be debating Dr. Peter Van Kleek of StandardSacredText.com on the thesis, the Textus Receptus as the Word of God is equal to the New Testament autographs. Dr. Peter Van Kleek will be defending that thesis, and Dr. James R. White will be opposing that thesis. It is free of charge. All are welcome. And for more details, you can go to ironsharpensironradio.com or you can send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We have a listener, Cindy in Findlay, Ohio. Hello, Chris and Dr. Piper. I have enjoyed watching the Is Genesis History series with Del Tackett. Does Dr. Piper have any comments regarding this series?
I saw it when it first came out, and I thought it was excellent.
Great. And do you know how anyone could watch this series? I mean, is there
I would imagine if you just went on Google and did it, you would get it back up. It was released. They gave it a preview at the seminary, and they ran it at different theaters, like one of those special one-day type things. I think if you simply went on Google and typed it in, that you could get it.
Thank you, Cindy. We have, let's see, I was just looking at another.
You mentioned books. Let me mention that from the science point of view, that there's a number of organizations, Answers in Genesis, the Creation Research Group in Atlanta, the one that's in Dallas. All of these people have a PhD scientist working in every sphere, seeking to put forth scientific tenable theories to answer the theories of the modern scientist, and they do really useful work.
Great. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, I have been confronted by a growing number of Christians who think that to disagree over these areas in theological debates and other forums is unloving and unbrotherly. But for the life of me, I don't understand why they would say that as an absolute fact. Obviously, any debate or disagreement can deteriorate into hate speech, but when these differences can be conducted in an academic and brotherly and collegiate fashion, I think they're extremely valuable. I was wondering what you had to say about that.
Well, I would agree with you 100%. We've already addressed the issue of not attacking people and not questioning their integrity, but just as the name of the program, Iron Sharpens Iron, we need this kind of good, strong, biblical, theological discussion. Do it prayerfully and humbly, respectfully. But it's how we grow in our grasp of truth. And oftentimes the people that will take that position either have a very simplistic view about the Bible, they don't want to discuss any kind of of doctrines that might be controversial. And other times it comes from a position of weakness. They don't want to be made to think about the holes that might be in their own position.
Thanks a lot, CJ. Well, let's have a few more minutes where you have another opportunity of uninterrupted time to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before the program goes off the air.
Well, I think that to not be threatened by the fact that some oftentimes major theologians will take positions against the Sixth-Day position. And those that study it, I mean, a very good example of a man who humbled himself under Scripture was R.C. Sproul, who for the longest period of time did not hold to a normal day chronological creation. And he changed on that, wrote about that in Table Talk. And so that's refreshing. But don't be intimidated because big names are setting forth these theories. This is an area where anybody can read the Bible for himself. Another thing that I have a lecture, and it's how the rest of the Bible looks at Genesis 1. It's quite phenomenal. Throughout the Old and New Testament, how the Bible is supporting. Let me just quickly give an overview of this without being able to go into the specific text or anything, but in the first place, the Bible does teach an immediate, instantaneous creation. The word for create is used in this particular form with God as the author, is a record of supernatural work on God's part, and that word is used throughout Scripture, or throughout Genesis chapter 1, as well as other places in Scripture. So the Bible treats creation as an immediate, instantaneous, supernatural act of God. There's lots of references there. Ball says, texts that lay emphasis on what is new, previously not present, that appear to be as productions of creation. He gives a number of other categories that I can't do now. The Bible confirms the order of the days and the pattern of a six-day week. We've already talked about Exodus 20:11, Psalm 136, 5-9. Psalm 104 seems to reflect the order of creation. The Bible takes its face value, the fiat and fulfillment nature of creation. Psalm 33, 6-9, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts, for he spoke, and it was done. He commanded it, stood fast. Christ uses the phrase from the beginning to refer to the time of institution of marriage, which would take us back to the beginning of creation. I mentioned the uniqueness of the Hebrew word bara for create. And then each work of each day is explicitly referred to in Scripture. So you can just go to other places. Day 1, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Day 2, Psalm 102, 25 and 26. Day 3, separation of land and water. Peter refers to that in 2 Peter 3:5, vegetation, direct operation of the Spirit necessary to renew the ground, how much more to create, Psalm 104:30, Job 38:27. Day 4, many places referred to as the heavenly bodies created by God. Day 5, the birds and the fish, Psalm 104, and Psalm 8, Matthew 6, land animals. Day 6, Genesis 2:19, Jeremiah 27:5, man, Psalm 8:7, and so forth. So you go straight through Scripture, and every genre of biblical literature affirms a literal reading of Genesis 1. Historical, poetical, prophetic books, Gospels, Acts, Epistles, Revelation. Quite an eye-opening exercise just to go through and look at our rest of the Bible. Deals with Genesis chapter 1, which is how we're to interpret Scripture, right? Scripture interprets Scripture.
Amen. Well, folks, for more information about Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina, go to gpts.edu, gpts.edu. And how can our listeners find out more about your church plant that you are pastoring?
Well, they can go on antiochpca.com and there access our website. The church had died. It's kind of out in the country, but houses are being built all around it. And Pastor Groff and I are working there. We've gone from three couples and some children to now about 14 or 15 family units and 27 children.
Praise God. And we've got to get you back on the program to even discuss more about the church. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want to obviously thank Dr. Joey Piper for doing such a magnificent job today. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.